I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Simplest one right here. The 49ers and the Chiefs remain the top dogs in the NFL.
Yes. That's not an overreaction. That's not an overreaction. I kind of feels easy.
Yeah. To be honest with you, that kind of feels like cheating.
Yeah, I mean, they were super impressive in both of their games. Like, the Chiefs game was close, but I thought they were impressive. You know, I mean, obviously Patrick Mahomes is who he is and all this other stuff, but I was really impressed with that defense. Now, I remember what that defense did in the Super Bowl, and they just carried it over into this game against the Ravens. So I think it's just those two. I didn't see – I think the Ravens are up there as well, but I didn't see a whole lot in week one. I didn't see a whole lot in week one. So to say that those two are still the top two teams, I can't go against that.
Can I throw one in there real quick? As far as like kind of playing off?
Yeah, just one second. You said you didn't see a lot
from the league in week
one. To put them at that level. Got you. Okay, got you.
Is it overreaction to say the Texans are the ones who are like that's the Chiefs' biggest threat?
A little bit. Right, like right now today, I think that's an overreaction. I like it a lot.
I'm gonna still go with the Ravens, but it's.
I got my eye on Houston this year.
I see what you're saying.
Okay, let's go the other direction then. The Bengals. The Bengals will miss the playoffs.
If these, I don't know what was going on in the video. We gonna talk about it, I guess. But if that's an issue, and what I'm referring to is there's a lot of video.
Yeah.
Of Joe Burrow. Throughout the game, trying to like mess with his ribs.
Yeah, it was clear something was wrong.
I don't know if it was discomfort or pain or whatever, but the wrist seems like it's still giving him a little trouble.
Mm-hmm. T. Higgins not at practice today again.
Yeah, and how's Jamar's mental state?
It feels
like this is the perfect combination of bad ingredients.
Yeah,
like it feels like everything is going wrong for Cincinnati right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that is an overreaction. The idea of the Bengals missing the playoffs, I don't think isn't an overreaction, especially when you look at like the totality of all this. It just looks bad.
I'm trying to think, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I love this. This is great. He's counting, and we have no idea what he's counting.
Count playoff teams, and I guess I can get to 7 before I get to the Bengals.
Well, I think we had them all in and 4 and 4 out, but like you can easily say probably like the Bills will be around.
See,
Chargers maybe.
See, Patriots are obviously in now after the Pats.
Enjoy that one.
I still got the Bills out, and when I'm doing that exercise and thinking of the 7 teams, I thought more so about the Steelers. Being in there.
Okay.
As opposed to
you had taken them out.
Yeah. So I think it might come down. It might come down to a combination.
It'll be a mix of teams, though. Yeah. Yeah.
The Steelers, Bengals, and.
The Bengals and Browns missing the playoffs is spectacular.
I'm so out on the Browns.
Oh, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
We'll get to this. We have some. There's already conspiracy theories after week one.
Oh, I saw that too.
Oh,
yeah,
there's
the
Cleveland Browns one
that is a
chef's kiss. How about this one? This is a dark one. This is Jesse. This is all Jesse. So direct your hate tweets to JT Celtics 101
at JTapia_03 on Twitter.
The Raiders won't win more than 5 games.
That's an overreaction.
So is your idea?
That's an overreaction to what we saw week one.
Is it?
I think.
Do we like their running back situation? Do we like their quarterback situation? Davante Adams doesn't seem like he likes any of the situations.
Well,
they play the Ravens this week. You're going to start off 0-2 already.
You're definitely going to be 0-2. Although Lamar was on the injury report.
Well, he practiced today.
Oh, he practiced today.
He did. Yeah. He was on the injury report. I didn't realize he was away from everything yesterday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's at practice today.
Oh, well, Raiders are going to lose again.
I think I gave the Raiders offense, honestly, a little too much credit. Because after Davante Adams, I like Brock Bowers. After Davante Adams and Brock Bowers,
yeah,
I'm not sure. Like, we like Zamir White, but it was like, I think Alexander Mattison got more touches than him that game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's different. Gardner Minshew, like, we're not going to talk him up. Like, he's just a journeyman guy. Like, he maybe win you two games or whatever. But I think, like, looking at it more, like, I think Jacoby Myers might be their second wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I like him.
He's good, but he's probably better as a three. He's probably better. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I like the defense is fine, but it's just, I don't know about that offense.
Forgive me, I was hung up on Mike McDaniels. He had his black hoodie. It was very nice. It around the collar up here, it said Miami different.
Yeah, that's a good look. That's a good look. Probably something, you know.
What? Oh,
probably,
is it?
Probably local. Something local.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
If it's anything other than local, I haven't heard it, but I'm assuming it's.
Okay, I was going to ask, is that like your.
I don't know if it's a. I don't think it's a logo, but I saw some players wearing like a t-shirt like that too.
It might be okay. Like, you know, like the.
Or like the. Not the
Made in 916 brand or People's.
Got it.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
Got it. I was like, is that their mantra? Like, it was a nice hoodie, but it confused me for a minute. I should mention this. I had misread this when it originally popped up. Didn't think it was a big deal, but given the conversation that we've had over the last handful of days, it feels like a little bit more important to read Nick Wagner, Ian Rappaport, all reporting from Kyle Shanahan's press conference. Kyle told reporters that Christian McCaffrey will be limited today. He will practice, but he will be limited. He also said that Kyle Shanahan also said that Christian McCaffrey is not considered a candidate for IR. Again, he is not considered a candidate for IR. I felt important to point that out, given we've had several conversations about the possibility of an IR stint for Christian McCaffrey, just to be safe.
Right.
Kyle Shanahan, at least right now, appears to say thanks, but no thanks.
You know, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. It feels like that's just how Kyle rolls, right? Like, he's not going to do anything for the sake of doing anything or being overly cautious. Like, because we talked about the workload of these players.
Mm-hmm.
When Christian McCaffrey is able to play, they're saying he's able to play and have the workload of a completely healthy Christian. It's not, oh, let's ease him back in and get him 12 snaps. You know what I mean? Like, Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, they needed IV on Monday. Mm-hmm. He's like, you playing. Simple as that. So I say that to say he's not going to – I'm going to be super cautious with Christian McCaffrey and put him on the IR. I'm going to be cautious as in I'm not going to put him out there if he's not ready to be 100% Christian McCaffrey. But he's still going to be around. Mm-hmm. We're going to test it out every week. So I don't expect him to play on Sunday.
Yeah, I tell you, we're talking about injury. The reason I don't play fantasy football – the reason I absolutely won't. I was we had a little company function on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was the Eagles and the Packers. And still a fair number of people. Might have been some friendly wages going on with some. Maybe from the fantasy the pocket watching champion of the world.
Well, I didn't make any wagers, so I don't know what.
No,
you're
Abe, I'm talking about.
He's
Abe.
Not the pocket watching champion.
Okay, guy. And there was a lot happening, and so we kind of gathered around the TV for the final few minutes. Obviously, this drive is going on. Jordan Love gets hurt.
Mm.
Jordan Love is on the ground, clearly in significant pain, like doing the whole deal. Someone, I won't say who, first thing she says, whose fantasy team is he on? He's not on mine. Thank God he's not on mine. Who has Jordan Love? The man is writhing on the floor. Who's got Jordan Love? It sucks to be you, pal. And I'm looking at her like, oh my God, you are the reason I don't do this.
That's cold blooded. That is cold blooded, man.
Again, I won't say who did it.
Oh man, fantasy football. I'm still mad that I didn't get J.K. Dobbins.
Oh, I understand.
Put a waiver claim in for him and got denied. Somebody else picked him up.
That's how waivers work.
Well, we shouldn't be doing fantasy football with freaking waivers. He's a free agent. I want him. He should be on the team. You're doing waivers like this damn NFL for real. Stop. And it's the first week of the season. Everybody is damn near winless.
Who was talking about you?
What you got?
Now I got to go into week two with Raheem Mostert as my starting running back.
Better look elsewhere too, pal.
Oh, in any event. Speaking of Friday night, overreaction, what we saw Friday is the worst Jalen Hurts will look this season.
No.
It's not the worst he'll look this season.
I want to say it's not, but I want to say it's an overreaction, but I don't think. He was throwing to receivers like he was a rookie throwing a defensive back.
It wasn't the best.
Not even the one where he's pointing the end zone or whatever in that pick, but there was another one later on in the game where I think whoever was covering A.J. Brown was just around the route for him, basically. Jalen Hurts basically dotted him up, but dropped the interception.
The first pick was ridiculous. He's doing a triple coverage in the middle of the field. Jalen Hurts, I don't think Jalen Hurts is that good. I think he's a playmaker. He's a good runner. And he can do some off-script stuff. But if you keep him in the pocket, I don't know if he's that. But also, I said this year I wanted to see Jalen. I thought we would find out who the real Jalen Hurts is. We don't know that after one game. So I don't know. I'm giving it some time. But.
Scooter in the chat brings up something too. Like he said, he's looked like that since the middle of last season. I was kind of like, it was kind of picked up where we left off.
I wouldn't say the middle, but probably starting week 10, 11, it got a little dicey after that. I guess that was pretty close.
To me, he's only shown 1 year of not being that quarterback, that type of quarterback. Even earlier in the season last year, like I think about the games, and that's why I'm not. You know, the Niners look great week one or whatever the case may be. The Eagles won week one, too. They won week two against Minnesota, put up 34 points. I never thought they looked right. Now, I think the Niners look good on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Eagles were, what, 10-1 before they played the Niners?
That's right.
And it didn't look
and
right.
And it went to hell. No, for sure. It
didn't look right. So
for sure.
I want to see it.
Back and you look at those first 11 games, they're a little suspect. Let's stay with this real quick because, we've got a lot more.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or NFL, which talked about conspiracy theories. We could save some of these and throw them in there. Let's stick with that Friday game real quick. Green Bay Packers season is over.
Yes.
Not an overreaction.
That's an overreaction. Jordan Love will be back sooner than later.
Jordan Love going to be back in 6-7 weeks. They could be...
No, if he was, they would have threw him on IR. I saw the stuff I've seen, I saw 3 to 6 weeks. They're expecting him closer to 3. He's not going on IR. So because of that, I think he's going to be back sooner than later.
And that's also assuming that they're going to be good.
One more. We could talk more, but one more. The NFL's trip to Brazil was a failure.
Overreaction.
Yeah, overreaction.
Yeah, I don't think it is an overreaction at all. Mm-hmm. I think that's on point. I think it was an absolute failure. I thought the whole the field was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Every fan had like a Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre jersey on. Like, I don't think they cared about football.
So, let's talk.
Okay. All right. We'll come back. More NFL. Phone lines open 916-909-1320. Dealing with Casey here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. There was a time where I had. Man.
Bring it back.
I used to have a lot of Kobes. I used to have a lot of them.
White Kobes too? Like, that's all it was why you didn't have any, like,
Doc and Red joints? No. We had, Mystics colored Kobe's. Mm. And Connecticut Sun colored Kobe's.
That's what I'm talking about.
The first WNBA player to hoop in Kobe's.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
It wasn't in Sacramento. Oh, no, it was her last year. It was Kara's last year in Sacramento.
Was that like 07, 08?
It was 09. It was the 09 season because we asked Kobe and I guess it's funny now, Nico Harrison, the general manager for Dallas used to be, he was the point of contact. Like, he was essentially Kobe's guy at Nike. Mm-hmm. And we asked Kobe, like, literally on the floor of Arco Arena, can she wear your shoe next season? It's like, oh my God, yeah. Nico! And he just, Nico, just pointed to Kara and she was the first to wear Kobe's.
That's what's up.
That's how it used to. I don't know if it's still like that, but you like they especially in the W at that time, because it's not like it is today. You couldn't just wear whatever. Like, you had to get some things cleared, especially if he was getting the shoe for free, if he was getting customized colors,
right,
all of that different stuff. And man, he couldn't have been more accommodating. Then all of a sudden, everybody's wearing low tops.
So, you know, the funny,
That's how you know Kobe was all about the W, because when everyone asked, he said yes.
Yeah. The funny thing about Kobe and his shoes is, I remember I was living up here and the Kobe 3s were out, the kind of waffle joints or whatever. And I liked them. I thought they were dope. I had a pair. I loved that it was like triple black like that. Like, it looked good on the court. I thought they were dope. But you could easily go get them, you know. And I was like, damn, man, they're not selling. I wonder what's going to happen, you know, with Kobe. I was living in the Bay Area at the time. It wasn't really selling like that. So I'm just thinking Kobe's and how I see it up there. I moved to L.A., and then the Kobe 4s came out in L.A. I don't know what happened up here. I'm assuming it was kind of the same. All them kids had Kobe's. All of them. All them kids had Kobe's. Everybody was rushing out to get the Kobe's. And that's why it's like, it's interesting how it works in those regions a lot of the times. Because I remember when Steph was doing his thing, he first got with Under Armour. And I know in the Bay Area, everybody had the Curry's. And I would hear like Butch and Bonte or some other people talking about, yeah, man, them Curry's, everybody got the Kobe's or the Curry's, da 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 da. I'd be like, y'all sleeping on that Kyrie's. Mm-hmm. Say, I don't see nobody with Kyrie's on. Bro, all these kids down here have Kyrie's. Like, all, like, the Kyrie's are the shoe. And I remember that, had that same experience with the Kobe's. I didn't think nobody was really buying them. And all them kids down there in Southern California, man, they all had them Kobe's.
Only thing that killed me about the Kyrie's is they were a little narrow.
Yeah.
So the first time I got them, first couple times I got there, I kept thinking you'll break them in. I couldn't break them in and wound up giving them to my godson, who was like 11 at the time and outgrew them a year later, and I had no one to give them to after that. I don't even think it was a year later.
Yeah, and Buck Father, I'm with you. I think it's going to be the same thing in Sacramento with them Fox 1s. When they should, yo, that was such. I get it. I already understood it, but I get it. Did you see the footage of Fox and Curry landing in China?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's different. It's different. Like, and I don't know how he feels for real, but I looked at Fox coming, like, trying to get through the crowd, and it's like, oh, I ain't never been involved in nothing like this. Mm-hmm. This is crazy.
Yep.
This is different. That's why you make that type of move, to get associated with that guy. Because it's different. It's a different level of popularity, notoriety, and all this other stuff. It's different.
I know the shoe game is so, it's kind of like wrestling. Like, it's a specific audience, right? And those that like wrestling are really, really passionate about it. The shoe game is similar. Those who love the shoe game, they're really, really passionate about it. And a lot like wrestling, those that aren't, they don't quite get it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why you guys watch that stuff. You know it's fake, right? on the other side, why is it such a big deal? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Go watch those videos. Mm-hmm. That's why it's a big deal.
Right.
especially overseas.
Yeah.
That's why it's a big deal.
And it's
we
like,
saw it with Bean, you know,
yeah,
back in the day. Hell, even to a certain level, James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
We see it with him. Seeing Steph, though, man.
I wanted I wanted Fox to sign with Nike. He's been a Nike guy for, you know, all through high school and all this other stuff. I want him to sign with Nike. I got the Fox Air Max ones, all that other stuff. Like, I wanted that to happen.
You send everyone into a frenzy when you wear those shoes.
Really?
Everyone here. Well, the tribal chief is very enamored. The tribal chief is very enamored with those shoes.
Tribal chief did that with like his Bruno San Martinos or whatever the shoes are.
I don't think that's what they're called. I don't think that's what they're called. But he'll, yeah, he was like, are those two different shoes? Why are they different colors? Man, well.
All right, I want him to go to Nike, but I can imagine the conversation that was had when being part of the Curry brand was on the table. And he said, trust me, when we go somewhere, you're going to want to be a part of this. And Nike by itself, right now with De'Aaron, they couldn't do that. He couldn't go to China and have that type of reception by himself.
Mm-hmm.
You get with Curry now, and we talk about it in wrestling terms, you got that Curry rub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, it opens up a whole nother world for you.
It's solo joining the bloodline.
Yeah. Yeah, so good for
At
him.
First, it's like, oh, okay. Okay. And now it's like, oh, I get it. Yeah. I get it.
I got to give me a pair of Fox ones, man.
Do we have a date?
No, I think they're supposed to be unveiled officially like either today or tomorrow, though.
Oh, so that was that a leak or was that a tease?
Yeah, a little leak, a little tease. You see what's going on or whatever, but the official shoe is supposed to be doing it while they're out in China. So
okay, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Good for De'Aaron, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good for De'Aaron. We'll talk Kings because De'Aaron's getting talked a lot. De'Aaron is getting talked about a lot today. Excuse me. I apologize. DeMar DeRozan was on First Take, and he was with Paul George. We'll play that sound.
DeMar DeRozan got a book that just came out.
Yeah.
That's part of why.
We weren't part of the club that got an advanced copy.
No, not at all. Going to Barnes and Nobles. And going
shout out Chris Webber. He gave us his book.
Yeah, see Webb.
A couple of more NFL notes here. Before we get back to the Kings, we got to get to top 20 games of the Kings season. Number 14, a game I'm very familiar with. That's on the way. So we talked about the video of Joe Burrow.
We were just talking about the Brazil game, and you said it was a failure.
Yeah, I think it was an absolute failure. I don't think they cared. I mean, I guess the game sold. I guess that's all that really matters. I don't think those fans cared. That's not their sport.
Do the England fans, like, I feel like it was like kind of the same as like when they go over to England. I don't think they care about the Jags.
Well, I didn't feel like, and maybe I'm projecting, maybe I'm just a jerk. I didn't feel. You're right. Europe or London, where Wembley, wherever they're at, they don't care about the no one cares about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I didn't feel like Brazil cared about football, or I didn't feel like Brazil cared about American football.
I think they were looking
around like, what the hell is this?
I think they did, okay. But it's also a situation where I understand you're trying to grow the sport. So the first time you go somewhere. Yeah, they know everything that's going on or they're going to be locked in. But as much as I hate them going to London and all this other stuff, you're trying to, how do I say it? You want a generation to be familiar with your sport. Mm-hmm. So the first time you come there, it's not going to be like the big deal. But if you consistently come back over and over and over again, there's going to be a 5-year-old who went there the first time you came there, and now he's 25 and he locked into the NFL because they come here every year. I've been watching my whole life and all this other stuff, and I think that would be the thought going to Brazil. Yeah, the first time, what the hell is this? And then, but you get that kid that NFL came to, and the Eagles came to Brazil when I was 5, and now I'm an Eagles fan forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching them every year and all this other stuff. And by the time I'm an adult, I've got a certain level of familiarity with the game. If they come back, I'm there. I'm going to Philadelphia now to go watch the game. All this, I think that's why I can't call it a failure, because it's a long game type thing, I think.
Okay. It's fair points. Fair points.
I don't like that they go. I hope they do Friday again next year. I don't like any of the international games. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
I wish they would stop, but I understand what they're doing. The funny thing is, I don't know if it's really working like that.
I feel like the Niners in Mexico City is the one where...
Niners in Mexico City was a good one.
And that's arguably the most complicated one to pull off, right? One, the field is awful. They actually had to move a game because the field was so bad. And two, you're putting someone at an altitude. That is a monster that you're dealing with down there.
Yeah.
Bob Beamon flew in that altitude back in 1968.
Mexico City is... That is a good one, because... I think, and I don't know, maybe I'm just paying more attention to it, but there were a lot of 49er fans in Mexico City.
Yeah, there's fans. Like, they get loud for those games.
Yeah. So that was like, it was like, my 49ers are coming to Mexico City, so they showed up. I think the Cowboys would have the same type of the response if they were in a place like Mexico City or anything like that. I think Mexico City actually works.
And it's probably somewhere close enough, too, where, like, people out here will fly out there for the game and stuff like that.
On the flip side, RIP. You know, hey, man, damn, we starting the season in Brazil? I'm there. You know, me, Kenny, in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. What? Niners week one in Brazil? Oh, yeah, man, we got to go. Mm-hmm. We got to go. Could have that. You know, Citra. I know a couple people that went to Brazil who were Packers and Eagles fans, and it's one of those once in a lifetime type deals. Like, man, let's go to Brazil and see our team. So, I don't know.
Okay,
I think Mexico City's the best option, though.
Okay,
they got a lot of those games this year. Don't they have like 6 or 7?
Is it that many? Wow.
I think England gets like 4 usually.
Germany, they're going back to Germany.
Oh, that was the other one. I was trying to think, what was the other place they visited? Germany. Germany was the one. It sounds like Justin Fields is starting again for the Pittsburgh Steelers this week.
Mm-hmm.
That in and of itself, I guess, is a little bit of a story. The conspiracy theory lies within their speculation that Mike Tomlin is already annoyed with Russell Wilson. Now... The difficulty...
Maybe Sean Payton was right.
Well, that sentence I'm never going to utter, so you can have that
one. I'm just saying.
Hey, you're impartial. I don't know why I dislike Sean Payton so much, but I do. Man literally never did anything to me. Mike is very... Like, Mike looks the same all of the time. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just a certain inflection on words, a certain, because it can't be the look on his face. His demeanor never changes.
Right.
But there was a lot of speculation that after yesterday's press conference that Mike Tomlin has about had it with whatever is going on with Russell Wilson. Mm. So I don't know what that means. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't thrilled with the full warm up, the full uniform warm up the other day. Maybe he's not thrilled at the idea of maybe the doctors are telling him this injury is moving a little slow. I'm not really sure whether I don't even know if any of this is real. But Justin Fields appears to be starting this weekend, mm-hmm. and this Russell Wilson thing in Pittsburgh may never get off the ground,
and
which creates a really interesting scenario next year.
So Russell Wilson has 2 years left on his deal?
He doesn't have any.
Oh, it's...
No, I don't think so. Because the Peyton, the Broncos, cut him.
That's right, they did. I can't remember if they cut him.
Yeah, they ate the money.
They ate like an absurd amount of money to
let him go. Yeah, they were just like, we hate you. We will pay tens of millions of dollars to get you out of here.
That reminds me. Do you know what Deshaun Watson's cap hit is next year? Next year?
Is it $100 million?
It's like $107 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike.
Which, we'll get to that. We'll get right.
I learned that yesterday. I was like, wow.
So that just happened.
Mm.
When they restructured. Yeah. When they restructured his deal, the signing bonus, the money being converted from a salary to a signing bonus changes the cap hit. And the cap hit, I think, this year is like $70 million because of the restructure. And next year, I knew it was in the vicinity of $107 million.
That's crazy.
But Russ makes Brock Purdy money this year, you know, figuratively.
Yeah.
And this is it. Like, he's making the exact amount of money he was going to make with the Denver Broncos, and he can sign anywhere next year.
So now that we were here, I remember we had this conversation about a week ago. Now that we're here, and there's a possibility he never gets to play it down for the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel differently about maybe we've seen the last of Russell Wilson?
No. No, and here's why. And this is why I said I think it creates a really interesting scenario next season, because there are going to be a lot of football teams looking for a quarterback next season. And if you're one of those teams that does the old, we're just a quarterback away, you take the short-term risk on Russell Wilson. And that would be a massive gamble for anyone. Mm-hmm. But if you're the New York Giants.
That's right. And we did say he was going home.
Yeah. Well, if you're the New York Giants, if you're potentially the New York Jets and you look at it like, how good are we? Like, could we roll the dice with Russell Wilson 1 year? Is Russell Wilson a better option than Daniel Jones? Is he a better option than this player?
I was watching that game last night. Daniel Jones was awful.
He was terrible.
He was awful. And then Daboll might need to go. Some of the play calls, I know he's not the offensive coordinator, but did you know they ran a Wildcat with Daniel Jones?
Oh, I don't think I saw that.
Yeah, they ran a Wildcat at like 3rd and 1 midfield, him in the shotgun. They ran the Wildcat. It was a -2 yards.
Never understood the Daniel Jones hype or even giving him a contract or any of that stuff. He's never been good.
So here's the thing. Somebody said this the other day, and I agree with it. Daniel Jones, when he does good things, he looks good. Like, it looks like, yeah, like he's athletic.
He does good
things. Sometimes when he runs, like, he's a pretty good athlete. He's kind of fast. Like, it makes sense. He just doesn't do those things often.
Yeah, I was going to say, he does good things maybe every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That's about a 3-win season. So, yeah, it's hard to argue that math. That
I think
checks
Russ
out.
Plays for the Steelers at some point this season, too.
I think he does, too.
Well, I was looking at Justin
Fields.
Due
to injury?
Due to performance. There's one point in the game where Justin Fields was like 7 of 9 for 27 yards. So if the offense isn't moving or whatever, then don't throw Russ in there.
Raheem Mostert ruled out tomorrow, and I can't bench him on my fantasy team. This is great. This is why I love fantasy. This is awesome. Somebody didn't allow me to get J.K. Dobbins.
Pick up Jeff Wilson.
So I'll tell you what I tell Jake Gaydon in my head every time he says it. No one cares. No one cares about your stupid-ass fantasy team. And just out of my own curiosity, why can't you bench him?
Because I don't have another running. Well, I do have another running back, but he's not going to play. I should have put him in there anyway. Isaac Garrido is my other running back.
Tell him to pick up Jeff Wilson.
I think somebody already got him.
Sounds like you're a bad general manager, if you ask me.
Well, running back is where I did skimp a little bit. Everything else is kind of is kind of cool. I'm listening to you right now, Jesse. I'm picking him up as we speak. Jeff Wilson.
He ran the ball pretty good the other day.
I mean, anybody's better than Raheem Mostert. He's not even playing.
Man, that's tough. Joe Burrow missing 7 games due to a wrist, and that man is on the sideline just shaking his wrist like he's trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
So I hope this isn't the case, but
he looks ridiculous. I swear to God, he looks like a child. He just, I didn't see that video. Yeah, this was the video.
He couldn't barely pick up the Gatorade.
Yeah, that's the one I kept seeing right there.
I need help.
Oh. That I didn't see this one. So there's a Pruder filming.
So is it a possibility? And I hope not, but is it a possibility that, you know, the way we think about somebody's shoulder, it could be the case with that wrist?
Well, I think anytime you have you know, some sort of procedure done, it's going to take time to recover. I don't know what the rehab process is for a wrist. Yeah. I do know the shoulder, and man, that process is slow. Mm-hmm. And if you if you don't take it slow, you're in trouble. Mm. Like it is a, I mean, I put your hand on the wall, walk it up. Mm. How far can you walk without discomfort? How far does and until it just feels like your whole arm is getting pulled up? Stop, put it down, you're done. Mm. No, walk it up to the same spot again. Over. It's a terribly, terribly slow process. I don't know what the wrist is. I think sometimes guys are so, how quickly can I get back? They come back too fast to a detriment to the self. I'm fearful. That's what happened with Cam.
Yeah.
Because Andrew Luck was like, effing, I'm out. Yeah. I'm not doing this.
The crazy thing with Joe Burrow, and maybe you guys can refresh my memory, I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen that wrist injury. Yeah. He was literally trying to throw or hold, and he all of a sudden had no control, couldn't grip. It's off the top of my head, I can't remember exactly what the official diagnosis was. It's like a nerve thing, it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Nerve ligament thing. I've never seen that before. People break their wrist, all this other stuff, and you get it back together, but nerve, ligament, all that other stuff, I've never seen that before. So this might be something that lingers for forever.
It could be. And if it does, hey, goodbye.
I wonder
to the Bengals, because this is just another problem on a season that they've had. They're starting the season with nothing but problems.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but problems between T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and now Joe Burrow.
And get ready for all them stories to pop up on Monday, because you see who they're playing on Sunday.
Who's Sunday?
They got the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Well, you see the story that popped up today.
What? I missed everything happened today. And I had a crazy morning. Everything happened.
Will
Sharp, DeMar DeRozan. What? Andy Reid retired? You telling me that? Pat Mahomes retired? Is that what happened? Everything happened this morning. What the hell's going on?
Will you, for the love of God, settle down? It's not that serious. All I was going to ask, and clearly the answer is no. Jesus, forgive me for asking, is the Kyler Murray quote.
No.
The Kyler Murray quote about Marvin Harrison Jr.
Mm.
He said, it's not my job to get him open. Come on. Or it's not. No. He said, it's not my job to force targets to him when he's not open.
Yeah, I got it right here. He said, sometimes the ball goes to him, but that's not my job. I leave that up to Drew, whoever, like this offensive coordinator or whatever. I think last name's Petzing.
That's an odd response.
It really is for a guy who could potentially make your career.
It's an odd response.
As far as I'm concerned, Kyler Murray has no choice as who he gets to throw the football, I guess, the way he's talking.
Man.
Here's the good news about
Here's
the good news about what Kyler said. We always believe, and Jordan Mason probably falls into this too. Guys need media training. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, fellas. Don't worry, professional athletes. Mm-hmm. It's not just you that needs media training. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you're the commissioner of a professional sports league, like, say, the WNBA, sometimes you need media training too.
Uh-oh.
You didn't see that either?
Did that happen this morning?
Do you want to go home?
Yeah, I need to.
Like, did you?
I need
Man,
to.
I saw that.
Were you dead this? Like, you said something happened this morning. Were you dead?
No, it's just.
Were you clinically dead?
The baby was there. I had a meeting with a guy for Solar. It was just a hectic morning.
Big ball of caraway.
Well, no, I don't think that's gonna happen anymore. It might, though.
All right, rest of the show is just teaching Kenny about what we got on the rundown today.
Yeah, no, it's.
Look, everything happened this morning. Everything.
No, like
was
stuff.
It cold this morning too?
Huh? Mm.
Was it cold this morning too?
No, it wasn't cold this morning. Meetings all over the place. Barely got to take my shower.
All right.
You know what? To come in here stinky.
No. I'm going to do, in an effort to not say anything, we're going to go to commercial. That's what we're going to do, because my man is going through it, and I'm trying to be understanding about it instead of yelling at him. So we will come back. It's D'Lo and KC, Brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. It's funny. I see Greg getting lost in the chat. That is a dangerous place to get lost in, my friend. Just word of warning. That is an interesting group of it. They are the lifeblood of this show. But that is an interesting group right there. So be careful. And I realized, I was like looking at Greg, like, what is it about Greg? Greg looks like Trey Wingo to me. That's what I was thinking. Trey like Wingo. Greg looks like someone to me. Who is he? He looks like Trey Wingo.
You know who I thought? And now I'm looking at Greg a little bit. Not so much, but he got a. Maybe I'm wrong. Tell me what I get for it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Marcus Allen.
That's about six. Greg is my
the
man
legend,
from
Marcus.
Greg, I've obviously been talking about you for weeks now, since we partnered up over at maptraining.com, and it was like, KC, you see he got his water bottle over there that helping him get on track. I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. Zabo, who's in the chat, our man Isaiah, stopped me as we were leaving Sky River, and he's gone to Maptrition, and he's, you know, watching different videos, and he's getting in the gym for the first time.
Nice.
Like, he's 25 years old, getting in the gym for the first time. Oh, man, it'd be a good time to just have Greg come in here, because we talk about, you know, the supplements, the stuff that you put me on that kind of has me, that has been able to elevate what I've been doing. But a lot of people are doing something for the first time, or haven't done something in a long time. And I think one of the most difficult things about getting in shape or making changes or different things like that is getting started. So I was like, man, let's just have G in here and talk and figure out what we could do, figure out how we can help people. What would be the first piece of advice you'd give someone who's like, I haven't been in the gym ever or haven't been in the gym in a long time?
Yeah, I mean, you got to go down to like the most basic thing you can think of, right? And I think it's just literally keep it simple. The mistake people make is they go from not working out for 20 years and McDonald's to chicken, rice, and broccoli in double days. Like, please do not do that. Like, something really simple you can start with is strength training. No running. Running will beat you up first day, right? Strength training, 2-3 times a week. Give yourself time to recover and getting your meal plan on track. Like, just start by focusing on how much protein you're consuming, and that immediately is going to start giving you results.
Right. So, and that's one of the things that I think about, because I have all these start and stops over the course of the last 20 years of being in shape, trying to be in shape, whatever. And there's always like a certain level that I get to the point where like I don't feel right, because I was an athlete. I played, you know, all these years. And if I don't feel like I'm athletic, that's always the one where it's like, I need to get back to doing things. So what you talk about with like going slow, like I don't have any problem getting in the weight room and getting some 25s and doing some stuff, because I think that's important. I'm not going to go out there and just go crazy. And
no ego lifting.
Yeah, I ain't doing that, man. Let me work my way back into it when I'm playing basketball or something like that. I ain't playing no full court games the first month or nothing like that. I'm going to jog, get my shots up, do all this stuff, work my body up to a certain level. I was playing in this adult league on Sundays on West Sac, and it's not like the super high intense league, but I was like, I need to get in shape to go play out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause I'm thinking of injury at this point. I was like, I need to get my body in better shape, so to help with the potential risk of injury, to just go play in some little men's league and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of virtue in just running your race. You don't have to jump into it and do all the crazy stuff the first week, 2 weeks, or nothing like that.
Yeah, and what you're saying is, like, you don't need to step on stage anytime soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
But basketball's a lot more fun when you're not winded.
Right.
You know, like,
right,
you're just trying to enjoy the game. I think that's what most people miss, is they think that what they see on Instagram is what they need to do on a day-to-day basis, and it's just not that.
Right.
And one thing that, like, even I struggle with after, I feel like I've been pretty serious about my health for 20-plus years at this point, I still struggle with supplements, and you helped me a lot with that. This partnership with D'Lo and KC and Maptrition was very organic. Like, I needed help. We were talking about it on the show, and then Greg came along, and one thing I love is you formulate all of that stuff yourself. Like, you, those supplements you were telling me about, you put that stuff together.
Yeah, I'm a nutrition nerd. It just kind of is what it is.
But that's a good thing, because so many people, as I did, have questions. Like, why, like, how does this work? Explain to me how this works. How does this work? Like, we were talking about the thermogenics one, the fat burner. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, no, this isn't the hydroxy cut that you're going to like be sweating and your heart's going to be beating, you know, 161 beats per minute while you're doing the show. This is something completely different.
Yeah, I mean, the idea with everything that we've made that we associate with, it's to amplify you, right? Because supplements are exactly that. They're supposed to be supplemental to the other stuff that you're doing, like eating real food and going to the gym. So are they the bonus? Are they the edge that everybody needs? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But just taking it is going to, like the fat burner, perfect mm-hmm. example. It's thermogenic, but it's not raising your heart rate and pumping you full of caffeine. It's simply making fat easier to access for your body. So just opening up those key doors so you can get more out of what you're doing.
And it's not, sorry, Casey, it's not like, oh, take these and you're good. It's like, take these in addition to your workout, in addition to eating right. These things all go together. It's not really wise to pick one and go, I'm going to focus on this or I'm going to focus on this. Doing them all together is what makes it all work.
Totally. And there's these, you know, there's kind of like the minimum stack all the way up to, you know, really specific goal stacks, but it's picking what you need, not everything that's going to fill your shelf.
Maybe you guys literally just said all this, but help me explain it or understand it a little bit more, because I'm the type where I've never taken supplements. I've never taken none of the nothing. You know what I mean? I go in there and I hit my weights, I do my exercising, and I keep it moving. And if I'm trying to do whatever healthy wise, my answer is I'm gonna eat better. What do the supplements do for me? Like, why should I take the supplements?
Yeah, it's the edge, right? So let's say because you're not working out super consistently, you're eating 2,000 calories a day. Mm-hmm. For you to get the micronutrients that you need, like the vitamins and minerals, you actually need to be eating 3,000 calories a day. Mm-hmm. But it's not comfortable and it's going to help you gain weight, right? Mm-hmm. So you can easily make your body happy by taking a multivitamin. So you can be in a calorie deficit to you know, be as fit as you want to be, but you'll still get everything your body needs to function at its best. Mm-hmm. Right? That's one example. Right. And I go this way because I think everyone and their brother from 4 years old to 90 years old should take a multivitamin, mm-hmm. right? So I'm super proud of ours. Mm-hmm. The other one that I literally give to everybody is the protein, right? Eating Oreos, I'm calling you out.
Oh, see, man. See, they didn't know that on the radio. They didn't know that.
Literally everybody knows that. Will you stop?
They're talking about lemon Oreos over here. I see the chat.
Lemon Oreos are mom.
Right? So something like that, like, you're missing out and you're getting fuller without consuming protein. Mm-hmm. So your muscle is suffering from doing that. Mm-hmm. Literally just putting something that's super available and low calorie, like a protein powder in your water, would change the game. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be more opt to burn fat than lose muscle while you're here on the show compared to Oreos.
Gotcha.
Simple.
Gotcha. Yeah.
The protein certainly is a supplement, but it feels like that particular supplement ties more into the diet. And I think the number one question we've got here, especially because you're a nutritionist, you have nutritionists, you've got a whole setup that we probably haven't done justice. Like being at your facility in Granite Bay was pretty amazing, knowing the different things that you do with your clients. Working out, I think people can get a grasp on that. Supplements, they hear you, oh, a little edge. Everyone struggles with diet. And I think one of the biggest reasons everyone struggles with diet is because you probably have to give something up. And no one likes that, whether it's Oreos or lemon Oreos or it's the quick stop at Chick-fil-A. How do you navigate the diet part? And I think another component is everyone's different. Like everyone's body is different. How do you I'm looking at David Jackson here in the chat. If David Jackson came in and you say, hey, I want to try a couple of things. How do you do the diet assessment and meal planning?
Yeah, I mean, so when we do it, because we do this online, we do it in-house. Like we write meal plans as a major part of what MAP Training does, mm-hmm. right? And we include the supplements, but it's really based on the food. If he rolls in, he's going to fill out a consultation form and it's going to be like, hey, what foods do you like? Do you like protein? Do you like carbs? Do you like fat? What are your favorites? What are your non-negotiables? Because if he tells me like, hey, I need a beer every night. Okay, cool. Let's work a beer in. You can be fit and drink. Mm-hmm. Like I just walked in not knowing the mics were on, telling everyone I'm drinking tequila.
Ain't nothing wrong with right? that.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with having tequila. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but I think it's just picking the non-negotiables. Like if it's your coffee, if it's your drink, if it's a burger once a week, like we can work that in. Mm-hmm. I'm a big supporter of the 80-20. And usually what I try to get people started with is rules to live by.
Can you explain that real quick?
What's that?
The 80-20?
Yeah, so if 80% of your week is dead on, your 20%, you have room to wiggle. You can get away with some of those snacks, right? Mm-hmm. But people think they need to be eating chicken, rice, and broccoli to get results. It's just not the case, mm-hmm. right? So I like to start simple and dial in as we go.
There's no quicker way to hate a food than thinking it's what you have to do, because that yes. meal that you just laid out, oh my God. Yeah. The amount of times I ate that for like lunch and dinner when I thought that that was the move in my 20s. Yeah, not good.
Yeah, man.
I think that was the main reason I didn't eat chicken for 12 years. Like, I just given up on meat. This is ridiculous. Paul, all right. Hey, we got company. Will you guys settle down? So I apologize, Greg. I work with a bunch of children around here.
I know the feeling.
But so like me, for instance, I understand. Like I've never had an issue with weight or anything. I've been pretty slim my entire life, and it hasn't really changed. But right now, I'm a little softer than I have. I'm still slim, but I'm a little softer. And little stuff like I have coffee every morning. So that one thing that I notice, because my coffee is a little bit more than coffee. There's a lot of sugar, a lot of cream in there, right?
I was going to say, you're going to have to explain what your coffee order is.
Oh, I know that question.
And I would find that, like, if I got what I considered too big or too soft, I would just kind of stop drinking for about 2 weeks, and I would see a difference.
Yeah.
Is there a way where, like you mentioned, 80-20, I can still have that type of coffee and work on my physique, work on my health? Is it one of those things where it's not as simplistic as this, but if I'm not having the coffee, you know, I get on the Peloton and ride for 40 minutes. If I'm having the coffee, I probably need to run for 55 minutes. Is it that simple, or is it a little more intricate than that?
It's that simple in concept, but what you said, not quite, right? Because mm-hmm. calories in don't equal calories out. Otherwise, I'd live on Big Macs and we'd be sweet, right? But that's just not the case.
Yeah.
What you're talking about is, how is that sugar affecting you? Mm-hmm. So if you were to drink that same coffee with no bike ride and add a protein powder, eat an egg on the side, it's going to force your body to store less fat mm-hmm. than it normally would. So you don't have to do that back and forth every couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Or you can stack it around your workout. Mm-hmm. So if you were to, instead of ride the Peloton, go lift weights, mm-hmm. that sugar is actually going to give you an extra drive and boost hormone levels so that you get better results from the workout. Mm-hmm. So you can stack the sugar in your favor.
Right.
You're just missing one of those two right now.
Got you.
You've kind of said something in a different way twice. If someone is getting started, is it better to lift than do cardio?
100%.
Because I think some people think, I'm going to go run 5 miles. I'm going to go get on the Peloton. I'm just going to burn all these calories. And that's great. Like, burning calories is great. Being active is great. But burning calories through lifting weights is a lot different.
Yeah. So two concepts here. One, when you're doing a lot of cardio first, your body's taking a pounding. I think it's like 9 times your body weight on each knee every step. Mm-hmm. Not a big fan of running as a starting point. But what they're talking about is, if you burn a lot of calories, you sweat a lot, yeah, your weight's going to drop. But it's not really dropping your body fat percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So all it did was make you a little more pain and a little less healthy, right? But when you strength train, you don't burn as many calories in that same time frame, right? So maybe it's only 200 calories in an hour. Mm-hmm. But over the next 4 hours while your body's recovering, you're burning an additional 200 every hour trying to play catch up.
That's crazy.
That's how you increase that fat burning. And that's why someone my size, I eat 3,500 calories every day, workout or no workout. And I'm 175 pounds. It's just the efficiency that I've built over time.
Right.
It's, you know, a bonus and a curse, but hey.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.